I think we're going to go ahead and get started. So first of all, I want to welcome everybody to our symposium today. We're going to be talking about social media, using social media effectively. And basically we've got four different speakers that are going to talk about different things related to the community. So the community is social media in education and extension. And so the first two speakers are going to talk about using social media specifically in education or in a teaching sort of atmosphere. And then we're going to have a break, a 10-minute break, followed by two more speakers that are going to talk a little bit more about maybe marketing programs. So if you've got a research or an extension program, being able to get your message out there, because obviously that's one of the great tools of using social media. And so we've got Nicole Kraft from Ohio State University, and she's going to be talking a little bit about using it in teaching from her journalism perspective. We've also got Jessica Pucci, who's from Arizona State University, and she's going to talk a little bit about marketing and getting your message out. And then lastly, we've got David Steen from Auburn University, who's there in the back, and he's going to talk about some of his experiences with marketing his own program at Auburn. So, and as far as for the speakers, basically what will happen is we'll try to keep time, keep to schedule. So, you know, when there's about 5 minutes left or something, I'll stand up so that you know that you've got 5 minutes, and then we'll try to wrap it up, and hopefully we'll have time for questions. If there isn't time for questions, like I said, there's a break in between, so you can definitely talk to the speakers then if you have questions. Okay, so without further ado, I'll go ahead and start. So I'm going to be talking about using Twitter in the classroom and some of the experience that I have with doing that. And before I get started, though, I want to talk a little bit about the idea behind the symposium and talk about some of the things that we've been doing. So a couple of years ago, we did an online survey through ASA to all the members to find out basically what their level of social media usage was, the types of social media platforms they use, their attitudes and perceptions related to using social media on a professional basis. So some of you might remember that, I talked about some of the results a couple of years ago, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the other results that we got in relation to this symposium and the importance of social media and learning to use it effectively for our different programs that we have. So first off, you know, the big question is, who cares? Social media, why do we want to use it? You know, isn't it just something for, you know, keeping in touch with friends and family and posting, you know, what you ate that day and all that good stuff. So there's this research that was done by Nicholas and Rollins, and it was in 2011. Basically, they looked at a number of different academic researchers across the globe, a number of different disciplines, and they sent this survey out through different publishers. And so they were able to reach, you know, or at least contact, you know, thousands of different academic researchers. And they were trying to identify how much those researchers use social media in their work. And some of the results, they found that about 80% of them use social media. And so this is from all across different disciplines, all across the world. And then, you know, I wanted to compare that to the results that we got from our ASA survey. And you can see that it's a little bit less. It's about 20% lower. And specifically, if we're looking at researchers, we got about 60% of researchers in the ASA community or the ASA society that use it on a regular basis for teaching or specifically for research programs. They broke it down by age group, and we did as well. And so you can see there's also a difference. There's a lower usage among our group as compared to, you know, more of the worldwide academics. And then, of course, the older group as well, there's a lot less usage. So this was something that that I saw that, you know, makes it important for us to be able to not only learn to use the technology, but learn how to use it effectively. And so that's why, you know, we're having this symposia today to talk a little bit about that. And so some of the results of that survey I'm gonna talk about very briefly. One of the things that we had found when we looked at different age groups, we of course saw a decreasing trend in usage. And so you can see the black bars are the ones that I'm referring to, where we asked them how much they use social media for their, you know, their work, their professional usage. One of the things, of course, you know, the older generation used it less. And, you know, that was found in that other paper that I identified. The other thing, the younger generation, the under 25-year-olds, they didn't use it so much professionally. And that's understandable. They're still in school. They don't necessarily have programs that they're going to promote. But I think it's important when we're talking about teaching is to really incorporate using social media into teaching so that students can see a different use for it besides just, you know, normal social type of communication. So being able to identify for them how they can use it, so that then once they graduate, once they get into the workforce, you know, they're more adept at doing that. And so, you know, one of the big things is trying to reduce some of the barriers to social media. And this was another graph related to that survey that we did of ASA members. Some of the biggest things were that they didn't have time, they weren't interested, and they felt that it was too public. And this is where, you know, education can really come into play, specifically with how to use it effectively, so that you're not wasting a whole lot of time and you're able to do it in a consistent manner that's going to, you know, provide good impact and good results. Looking at the overall attitudes, we asked a number of different questions related to attitudes, and so this was basically an average of the results of all of those questions. So the numbers on the side, obviously the higher the number, the more they agreed with the fact that there was a positive usage of social media. So something like a 3 represented their agreement, and then higher than 3 is you know, strongly agreeing and that sort of thing. Now you can see again there's a dichotomy between the group that's 45 and older and the group that's 45 and younger. And actually when we pooled these two sets, we found statistical differences between those. So again, you know, talking about the barriers and talking about the attitudes, you know, really being able to pinpoint, you know, how we can use this effectively is going to be useful in the long run. Because, you know, if you're comparing it to that other study that was done, if our society is using social media less, then that means our message is getting out there less than other disciplines. And so, you know, there's already, you know, a disconnect between agriculture and where our food comes from. And so, you know, it's pretty important for us to try to get that message out there, especially, you know, when we're fighting with Wikipedia and Google and all those other things. So those are things that make it really really justify the importance of these kinds of symposia. This is just a breakdown of some of the specific questions that we asked about attitudes, related to attitudes. A number of them, you know, basically the whole group was unsure about whether it increased their productivity. That's that white bar that you see there. But when it comes to broadcasting messages, reaching larger audiences, again, there was a decrease where, you know, again, the older generation was less positive about it. And so that's really important. That goes back to that, you know, getting our word out there, getting our information out there. If we don't realize that it's a good way to broadcast those messages, then, you know, we're going to be less likely to do it at all. Now, on the good side of it, one of the questions that we asked was their interest in learning about using social media and learning about using it effectively. And between 36% and 50% of those in that older age group were interested in learning about it at annual conferences like this one. And even more were interested in learning about using it through a webinar. So there's a number of ASA webinars that go on related to different topics, and so that's one thing that we're going to focus on is creating a webinar series related to using social media effectively and then breaking it down for some of the most important platforms that are out there. So if there's anybody out there that feels like, they're pretty good at using it and they have some good ideas, definitely let me know, because like I said, we're going to be developing that series so that we can help to educate, the whole membership to try to increase some of this usage to get our information out. Okay, so with that, I'm going to switch over and talk about how I used Twitter in one of my teaching programs. And in this case, I used AgChat Twitter discussion to try to increase interactions between students and farmers, students and ag professionals, students and other ag faculty at other universities. First of all, how many people have heard of AgChat before? Okay. All right. Well, there's not too many, so hopefully this will be a good learning experience for a lot of folks. So to start off with, what is AgChat? It's a foundation that was created in 2010, and their focus is really in trying to advocate for agriculture. And so they host different discussions every week, so it's on a weekly basis. And with Twitter, if you're familiar with using Twitter, you basically can follow a hashtag. So in this case, they use the hashtag AgChat. And so in order to go about the discussion, you'll follow that hashtag at a specific time, and then you'll be able to see the questions that are being posed and the answers that people are responding to. So with this, they basically host these different discussions every Tuesday night. It's usually between 8 and 10 o'clock Eastern time. So if you guys are tired of watching the election results tomorrow night, be my guest. You can join in on an AgChat Twitter discussion and see what that's all about. But basically, if you follow that Twitter hashtag between those times, then you'll be able to see the questions. And so they will ask the group. They'll ask they'll solicit for questions, they'll identify a topic for that week, and then they'll ask for questions related to that topic from, the people that are, following this Twitter page or looking at the AgChat hashtag. And so then, people will respond with questions, and then on the night of the event, on that Tuesday night, they'll ask, anywhere between 10 and 15 questions over that two-hour period, and, they'll allow people to respond. And so they've got individuals from all over the U.S., Canada. A lot of times they'll have people from Australia, even Malaysia, that are participating. And like I said, it's a number of different folks, either farmers or ag professionals, faculty, students, you name it, they'll be on there. So you get a lot of good discussion, a lot of good information. And so I thought it was a good way to kind of get students interacting with, especially farmers and other people that are kind of on the ground, because a lot of times students, they're stuck in the lab or in the field, and so they're not interacting as much with the folks that they're trying to help in the first place. So, like I said, this is the discussion, 8 to 10 Eastern time on Tuesdays. And like I said, they have different topics every week. So one week it might be related to farm safety. Another week it might be related to marketing, products. It might be, animal science, grain production, you name it. It's pretty diverse. So the assignment I developed was a pretty simple one. I just wanted to get the students involved in at least one of these Twitter discussions. So they can see what it's like. If they don't know how to use Twitter in the first place, they can learn how to use that. So that's important technology that, that might help them in the future. But then also they can see how to use something like Twitter for something related to, you know, their schoolwork or, you know, their later career or what have you. And so I had them follow me, my Twitter account, so that obviously it was easier for me to keep track. And then they would also have to tag me in any of the tweets so that then it made it easier for grading and those sorts of things. Lastly, I had them tweet to the hashtag AGSC5110 so that, you know, after a few semesters I can go back and look at all the different discussions and interactions that took place and talk about that at a symposium like this. And then at the end they have a set of questions that they have to answer related to their discussion. You know, what kind of information did you provide? What did you learn from the experience? Just that kind of where they're able to reflect on what they did with the discussion. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the interactions between students and other folks that were on the different discussions on different days. And you know, it was nice for me too because I got to learn more about my students by doing this, because there were some students in the class I didn't realize they came from a farming family, and you know, they were able to show that through their discussions when they answered questions that, you know, they knew what they were talking about. So in this case, this was the question, and this is kind of how they posed the questions: how are college grads getting into agriculture? And so this woman answered it: family, NPO, apprenticeship programs, etc. And then I had a student who was from a farming family, and he said he was a college grad, and he was pursuing his master's to learn more about agriculture. And he also came from a farming family. He could use that information that he's acquiring to help his family on the farm. This is another one. The question was: what role do farmers play in getting products to consumers? And he, the student here in this case, mentioned that they play a role of marketer, and he said that, you know, if somebody takes a photo of weak livestock or vegetation that doesn't look great, it might drive prospective customers away. And someone else responded, a farmer: we also want our consumers to not feel like we're hiding things from them, so it's definitely a balance. And he said, that's a good point. Customers need to know where their food is coming from. So, you know, these are some examples of different interactions. This is another one. What are good ways to get more information about agriculture to the larger society? And the student in my class answered using local extension agents to reach out. And then this gentleman from Australia also was part of the discussion. And he said he'd love to have a chat sometime regarding extension in America, because Australia was different. So, you know, that kind of interaction is really, you know, building kind of a discussion, a communication, a community related to agriculture and how to get our message out there. This one: what kind of record keeping system do you use to track antibiotic usage? This was from a farmer that, you know, they use ear tagging, Excel, books, those kinds of things. The student asked, you know, what's the method that's most efficient? And she said the ear tags were effective, but if you're doing too much IDing, you have too many tags. So, you know, they like to use other methods for their long-term storage. So, you know, these students, so this class is a class for graduate students, and it's a research methods class. So it's a sort of a basic level sort of class that's required throughout the department. So we've got students from all different areas of agriculture that participate. And so, you know, they're learning a little bit about things that they might not otherwise get in their coursework. Okay, just a couple more of these. What crops may be useful for bioenergy? That was the question, and the student answered that Jatropha might be one. And then the AgChat folks responded back saying it sounded promising and provided some information. And then there was this farmer presses their own oils. They're located in Ireland, and so they press their own oils. And so, you know, they tried pressing Jatropha and they realized that it wasn't very good. But another one now that they were working with was Camelina. So, you know, we get some real world experiences involved in these answers to these kinds of questions. Let me see, I don't want to bore you guys too much, but so this was talking about food and how consumer tastes have changed, being less wasteful. So this was a discussion between, you know, a registered dietitian and one of the students in the class, basically looking at quality over quantity, and then, you know, talking about how the economy has an effect on it. And she said that, you know, in Manhattan, groceries were expensive, and, you know, they were even expensive when they weren't even the highest quality. So just a little discussion there. This one, so we've got a lot of international students in our program. So this was a question that gives, or the answer to this question was a good example of some things, you know, I hadn't heard of, this this type of cover crop that they use over in Nigeria to protect against soil erosion. And so that was nice to get a different perspective from my own students about something that I wasn't aware of. Okay, so at the end of the classes, I did an online survey, so it was after the grades were posted, so this was totally, you know, it wasn't dependent upon their grade, they were free to participate or not. And so looking at the response, so the question was, the Ag Chat assignment was interesting and should be kept for future classes. So the number four represented strongly agree, three represented agree, two was disagree, and one was strongly disagree. So they all, you know, answered back. They were between agreement and strongly agreeing that it was a good assignment. And, you know, it looks like it's decreasing with time, but the values are not significantly different, and they all, like I said, are between that agree, which is number three, and strongly agree at four. And so I also had a section where they could provide comments on the survey as far as what they liked about the Ag Chat Twitter discussions. And so this is a word cloud that I created from the comments that I got back. Of course, the biggest response was related to the fact that it was something new. It was a new technology that they're using, and it was a new way for them to a new experience for them to interact with, you know, farmers and other ag professionals that are out there. They got to discuss different opinions and issues related to those that were on the ground, and so those were different things that they liked. So this was a pooling of all three of those different semesters that were there. And then lastly, what did you not like about the Ag Chat Twitter discussions? The good thing, the big one there is nothing, so that's nice to see. You know, some of them were concerned about the timing. They felt that, you know, they didn't have enough time to answer the questions because there were a lot of people, you know, engaged in the discussion, and so things were moving kind of at a rapid pace. And then some of them were concerned about some of the topics. They weren't related to what they were interested in or what they were doing in their research, and, you know, that's just, you know, the way it goes sometimes. You know, it's good to branch out and to develop new ideas and interests from things that you might not otherwise expect to. So that was basically it as far as the assignment, you know, how I implemented it and how, you know, kind of some of the feedback and the interactions that we got from that. So I'll leave it up to any questions that any of you might have related to what I talked about. You know, it took a little while because I'm
in your class. I'm sorry.
Okay, sure. The class ranged from probably about, it averaged about 20 students in the class, for each of the three semesters. And so, you know, sometimes I'd, you know, the what they handed in, the answers to the questions, that was very easy to grade, obviously. Going back and looking at, you know, how they participated, you know, that took a little while, but it really wasn't it wasn't really too bad. A lot of the times, the students would create their own Twitter account just for that assignment, and so that made it easy because I could just look at their page and see what the, how they participated, and you know, grade them according to that. And so, you know, it wasn't really too difficult. A lot of students, you know, they have their own personal pages, and I told them, you know, you don't have to use your personal Twitter account for this assignment. You can create a new one. A number of them hadn't used Twitter before, so, you know, it was a totally new account for them as well. So as far as going back and looking to see, you know, how they participated and everything, and usually, you know, I was participating as well on, you know, on the discussion, so I had an idea of who was participating and who wasn't and how much and those kinds of things. Any other questions? Sure. So the folks with AgChat, most of the people that are involved in moderating those sessions are farmers, and they're very involved in the AgChat Twitter discussions. I'd say, you know, you probably get maybe a week's notice to find out what the topic's going to be, because then of course, you know, they want people to provide questions related to that topic. Yeah. Sure. You know, I haven't gone back and looked, you know, at anything quantitative, but I know that there are a number of students that, you know, since using it in my class, I've noticed that they are still using it for, you know, for different things, and you know, sometimes it's social, and sometimes it's related to some of the things that they're working on as well. But I don't have a hard and fast number as far as the percentage. But there are definitely those who have, you know, didn't know about the technology, learned about it, how to use it, and then you know they've definitely, you know, been using it since then. Yeah. Well, I spoke with the gentleman, and they were interested in doing like a Skype chat. Yep. And so that's something that we'll be doing in the next few weeks. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much.